I'm Ava Hertley. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast.
In March 2020, Halifax-based Cara Maher Worlds turned upside down with the closure of her restaurant. Facing uncertainty, she was inspired by her mother's question, "Now what?" Opting for action, Cara reached out on Facebook Live, unsure if anyone would join her for a workout. Leveraging her background as a golf pro and fitness instructor, Cara's leap of faith sparked an incredible journey. From her living room to her garage, she's built a daily ritual where more than 200 women gather to share in gratitude and exercise. It's a narrative not just about staying fit, but about forging connections in times of isolation and changing adversity into an opportunity for community and personal growth. Join me as we dive into Cara's remarkable shift from restaurant owner to a source of hope and health for a nationwide community.
This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. Cara, it's great having you on The Brand is Female today. Thank you for making time to speak with me.
It's so nice to connect finally. Thanks, Eva, for having me.
I start these conversations typically by going back in time with guests. I want to know, growing up, what kind of career did you imagine you'd have later as an adult? And was it at all connected to what you are actually doing today?
So my first career thoughts, you're going to think this is hilarious, but it's actually true. I was going to be on the show Fame.
Yeah, of course.
Dancers, leg warmers. I was going to gear up and be on that. I was going to be a dancer, which is hilarious because I'm not a great dancer at all, but I thought I was when I was a young girl. And then quickly I golfed and I saw how lovely the golf pro at our home course, his life seemed to be so balanced. And I quickly thought that would be a great career. 6 months on, 6 months off, and he seems so happy. So it started pretty young when I was starting to think about a balanced lifestyle. Then I went to university to take phys ed teaching. That was my go to university plan. And after I did get my business degree, switched halfway through, I moved towards golf. And so I think I knew early on that something golf related was going to be in my life. Just took a little while to really hit home and move my career towards that. I was 23 by the time I had really decided golf was the way.
Well, so it was still connected. I mean, being on Fame might have sounded different, but it still, you know, involved physical work. So I can see the connection a little bit. It's not completely far-fetched. And where do you think that passion for golf came from? Was it, you know, you just discovered it and then it was love at first sight, or, you know, did you have golfers around you growing up?
So my mom was a golfer and she kind of took me underneath her wing. We played and we toured and we drove around in the summers together, and she made a point of making sure I was, you know, going to competitions. And so my mom was a big advocate for my just enjoyment of golf. And I really did always have so much fun in competition when most people were maybe very nervous or would shy away from competition. I just loved it all. Being at a golf course, being in a competition, losing, winning, all of it was just so much fun.
Who were role models for you at that time? You know, was it, and you know, there's less women than men in golf. It is a male-dominated sport, typically speaking. So I'm curious to know if there were women golfers that kind of, you know, caught your eye and whose career you were maybe following.
So my big sister is approximately 13 years older than me, and she was a pretty dominant golfer in the New Brunswick golf scene. And I thought she was the be-all, end-all. So I'm sure I was following in my mother's footsteps to some degree, but my big sister, Kelly, was somebody I wanted to emulate for sure. And then the club that I was a part of had women that were very good golfers as well. So my immediate female, the golfers at the course were just amazing. So I guess I was watching and competing beside them. It wasn't just people that were playing for fun. These ladies played on the New Brunswick team, and I wanted to be on that team.
I love that. And when did you realize that this might be more than just, you know, a sport, a hobby, a passion, that it could potentially become a business for you?
Well, I was trying to figure out what kind of career I was having, and I decided to drive across the country and go work at the Banff Springs because that sounded like a fun, great, beautiful golf course. And when I got there, I had no intention of being a golf pro yet. But when I got there, I was surrounded by golf pros that were going to play a playability test that summer. And some of the guys and some of the girls, they were like, "You should come with us. You can play. You could be a golf pro." And I was like, "I guess I could." And so because they were all going, I followed that summer. I was like, "I'm going to go try to pass this playability test," which means you have to go play a certain level of golf. And so I practiced all summer to catch up with these people that had been practicing probably for a few years. And I had taken 4 years off at university, so I was a little rusty. But I was like, "I could do this. I can do this." And so they really did help push me. And they took me, and we all drove in a car that day. And I was like, "I'm going for it." So being surrounded by people that have goals that you might want has been a key thing in my career.
So you tell me a little bit about that experience. So did you end up, you know, becoming a golf pro from that experience directly?
So yeah, I played what you call in, but you got to play out. So I had played well enough that my summer counted towards my credits. And so I didn't lose a summer. And so I was pretty much in, but I had to play out. So it took me two more summers to play out, which is play a little bit better. And so that just striving to get what I wanted was another reason to keep, you know, working at my golf. So without really knowing it, I was working towards my, what I would never look back on now as my golf career, because it's been just being at a golf course every day has always been something that I thoroughly enjoyed. So turning that into any kind of a job, I didn't care from the beginning if I was going to make $30,000 for the rest of my life or, you know, like top pros make a lot more, but I didn't care because I just knew I wanted to be at a golf course.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about kind of the next chapters in your career. I think, you know, it's the kind of sport where you could have just keep playing the circuit, you know, be a pro, but you eventually decided to turn this into something bigger. So where did the idea come from for that?
So I played a very short time on the tour, as you would say, because I realized living in a hotel and trying to win a very small purse of money wasn't actually going to, even if I had won every tournament, it still wasn't going to be easy or financially all that stable. And I didn't really enjoy going from place to place, living in a hotel, and I didn't really enjoy grinding it out and practicing. So I quickly realized that being a pro at a golf course with a stable, like, life environment was what I wanted to do. So from there, I started, you know, working at golf courses. From Banff Springs, I went to Toronto, Mississauga. And then from Mississauga, I saw an opportunity to go to Grand Cayman and work in the Caribbean. And that was the be-all, end-all. I thought I had died and gone to heaven, basically working at the Ritz-Carlton in Grand Cayman. As a Canadian with no winters, it was heavenly. And so that was probably the most exciting piece of my career as far as finding, you know, great jobs and a great environment. And so each one of them has been amazing. But looking back now, living in Grand Cayman was pretty special. I was there for 7 years.
And tell me, what happened when you came back, or when did you decide you wanted to return to Canada from there?
As a woman, there comes a time when you need to have the children and the family. And so I had kid number one in the Cayman Islands, and then I was still working and doing my thing. And then when kid number two came, you know, it was a decision whether I did take a break on my career there. And then we moved back to Canada because of my husband's career. And then we had three. And so life was pretty busy and hectic and beautiful and wonderful. And I was able to stay, you know, home until the kids could go off to kindergarten. And then when they did go back to school or start school. I started building my career again, which that piece is, you know, there's a starting over is an entrepreneurial true thing that happens on a daily basis. So I have started over so many times that doesn't scare me. Starting over is like, all right, bring it on. Here we go again.
Focused on the, you know, on the family life, on the children a little bit. And then where did that lead you next from a career standpoint? What were the options in front of you and what did you decide to do with what they were?
So I did try to go back to working at golf courses here when I arrived in Halifax, and I had probably worked 5 or 6 jobs, and I just didn't seem to quite, you know, after I got to a certain level in my career, I just didn't fit into the roles that were available at the courses. So I just couldn't really pinpoint where I fit in. And so I jumped around to a few jobs and took a hiatus on the golf, which is not what I had planned, but I said, like, you know what, I'm going to take a break because I've tried all the things in this area. And so we opened a Freshie, which I'm sure you're aware of in Toronto, a healthy food restaurant, and tried something completely new just to be owners of a franchise. And then when the pandemic hit, it took Freshie pretty much with it. And I was left with a moment of, now what? And that's when the new most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me began, which is called, my new company is called Get Vertical. And I was sitting basically, you know, in my living room, homeschooling the kids. It felt like the world had fallen apart and nobody knew where to turn next. And I just got vertical and went outside to work out. And I pressed Facebook Live for the sole purpose of connecting with people. And I remember being so terrified as I put my finger over the live button. I had never pressed it before. And every time I would put my finger over the button, my heart would like beat. And I was like, whew, what is this feeling? Why is this so scary? And I don't think I'm going to press that button. Don't do it, Kara. You don't know what's out there. You don't have any friends. And I was like, wow, that voice is mean. And I said, you know what? I haven't been this excited in a long time. I'm going to press that button. And on the other side of fear, now I say, was a few women that built into a few more women and that built into a few more women backing me up when I needed it most. And we formulated a group of women that just wanted to look after themselves in a time when everybody was scared with no direction. And so we found it in this little community of, it started with workouts for a year. Mm-hmm. And then these women said, hey, we want to pay you for this. You should start a business. And I was like, really? Okay. And then the golf came back to me, which is the best part of the story, when I was just leading the charge on feeling a little bit better. Some of the women in the group were like, hey, Care, after bicep blow-off tomorrow, do you want to talk about golf? And I was like, you guys want to talk about golf? Sure. So I'd take the club out and start with all excitement again because I hadn't really done it too much in a few years at this point. And I took one of those videos and posted it on TikTok, which I didn't even know what that was. And 3 days later, my phone's ringing off the hook. It's my teenage boys. And they said, Mom, your TikTok video is viral. It's gone viral. And I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, what does that mean? And they said, there's 350,000 views on that one video with the toilet paper roll. I was like, well, I pulled over. I looked at it. I'm like, whoa. And so I feel like it was all really just stepping stones for where I was supposed to be, which was just doing my own golf thing out of my own garage here, speaking to the women in my terminology, women talk, and not worried about, you know, my industry or the men in my industry or how things are supposed to be said. I was doing it my way finally. And because of that, it clicked with my friends that I trusted to give these videos to in the first place. And then it ended up resonating with millions of women. And I was like, thank you, golf gods.
Are you ready to be inspired and connected? I'm really excited to share that we have officially launched the Brand is Female Conversation Series. Come and join us for a monthly conference that's changing the game in Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto. Engage with fellow women thought leaders, innovators, and visionaries. Get ready for insightful discussions and powerful networking opportunities presented by TD Women in Enterprise. Visit our website, go to the events section, and secure your spot today. I can't wait to meet you in person. And it's interesting how it was that need for connection, you know, as a result of the pandemic that really started this. Like that was the spark that that got it going. Was it new for you to kind of tap into your network and try to, you know, build a community in that way? Is that something that you felt was a novelty?
Well, in online, yes. As a golf pro in Toronto, I built up a following of students. In Grand Cayman, I did it again. When I moved back to Halifax, I did it again in person, though. Now I do it online, and I have met golfers in Ireland, in Sweden, in Austria, in the USA, east and west coast of Canada. It's been world renowned now. And so that's the best part about online. It's become the world is there to meet. It's so cool, rather than just your little community of where you live and how you can physically be with people in a room. Now it's like, it's anybody.
Absolutely. Well, you do need to have something that, you know, resonates with that audience, which you did in your case. It seemed to catch very, very early on and quickly. So when did you realize, okay, there's this, you know, group of women, the group keeps growing, let's make this an actual business? And what, you know, what were the first phases in building that business, which is Get Vertical today?
So the workouts started with just plain old workouts, and that took a year till I finally got a subscription online where people could sign up. And then after another year, around May, 2.5 years in, I posted that golf video. And then in the fall, I started doing Zoom golf lessons, which in my mind would never have worked in the past. Teaching golf over Zoom? No way. You'd have to be there touching the club, moving the club, manipulating it, talking and being in person always. So the transition from teaching people virtually began 2 winters ago. And because actually a girl on TikTok commented how she was looking for a winter program. And I was like, I'm going to make her that winter program. And I made it for one woman who said that out loud. And I was like, I'm going to do that. She gave me the idea and I went with it. And the first course I put on in October, I might have had 20 women sign up. And then by January, there was 100 women signed up. And then it just kept catapulting. And I was like, oh my God, I get to teach golf out of my garage to women all over the world. This is not even work. I'm having so much fun.
Amazing. What would you say was kind of a, because it sounds like it, you know, it took off easily and you realized you were meant to do this and things were flowing. Did you face any obstacles when, you know, this became a real business and maybe in your first few months or first few years of operating? What's something that proved to be a challenge for you?
Okay, so easily is every day showing up and pressing play when you don't feel like it. So, I mean, part of it was easy because I just decided I was going to do the workouts and then they pushed me to show up. And so was it easy? No. Did I show up every day? Absolutely. Was it snowing out here? Was it cold in my garage? And I did it anyway. And so for 4 years now, no matter what, there's no missing workouts because a holiday Monday or whatever the excuse is can build. You can have an excuse list the size of Timbuktu. Or you can just decide that you're going to show up. So I decided with the workouts, I was just going to show up, which then because, which was, it's harder to say than actually do. So if I was on vacation, I would do it if it was never miss a Monday, because this was a serious like movement around here. So there was no missing. So for 4 years, I haven't missed any. And then it turned into, okay, I'll put some golf in on that too. So I guess it wasn't hard. It wasn't easy, but because I kept just showing up with desire, purpose, and passion. And now I know that I'm not stopping. I'm in love with this lifestyle of workouts and teaching golf for 6 months every year. And then I take my summers as a golf pro off with my family. And so I bust it from January 8th to June 15th. But I'm giving her, like, you know, as an entrepreneur does. So the biggest, if you're going to say, you know, the biggest thing that would have been a learning curve was, you know, technology and Zoom and funnels and marketing and online presence. But I just was having so much fun making these videos, and they take hours editing these videos. And then I hired my niece. And so she now edits my videos, and we do this together, which is the greatest part of the whole story. My niece and I work together, and it's like magical. She reads my mind, literally, and she loves me. And you can tell when she makes the videos, it's full of love. And so I feel so supported with her, and we are just having so much more fun now together, because, you know, working or playing golf alone, it's not that much fun. But when you can share the happiness and growth together, it's everything. So it wasn't easy, but it was full of, you know, you make a difference in one woman's life. It's the best thing ever. And so if one woman can turn into five, and then golf and confidence come together. So the confidence piece was in the workouts, and a lot of people found me because of the golf. But I'm like, ladies, if you want to crush golf, you got to get a little stronger. So let's marry two of them together. And then a woman that is confident and strong, I'm always like, watch out. When a woman is confident and feeling strong, watch out. Golf course or life.
There's no limits to what you can do.
Yes.
When did it feel, and it sounds like it was clear, you know, from the start, but was there a turning point when you realized that, you know, this business is going to thrive and I can do this for a while, I can invest in growing this? Was there a turning point at all?
Yeah, last Christmas, around December 20th, my golf classes started to sell online. And I was like, oh my God, look at this. My husband and I were like dancing around the Christmas tree, literally going, wow, you're selling these things. People are showing up in January. And then I sold them out, and I was adding more because I was like, wow, I can't say no. I got to do more. And then I did four classes of just 20 minutes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But they're intense. I'm all in. And so they sold out in January, and then they sold out in March, and then they sold out in April, and they sold out in June. And I was like, oh my goodness, how lucky am I? I get to go out in my garage, hang out with the ladies, have a great time, and they're getting better. And they're like, this is life-changing golf stuff that you're teaching me, Care. I'm like, really? You're getting it? Over in your house in Ireland, you actually feel that you have improved, because everybody gets their own net and everybody gets their own putting mat in their own homes. But that I'm able to communicate, and a woman without being in the same room gets it. I'm like, that was all the hours of talking on the phone between the age of grade four and beyond, talking on the phone. I had a phone stuck to my side of my face forever. And just being able to communicate has, you know, helped me to finally do this online, I guess. I don't know.
What's the kind of the big, you know, the dream? What's the big hairy goal with the business at this point? Where would you like to take it next?
So right now, there are other women in the group, like an intimacy coach, a life coach, a meditation teacher. The doctor from Austria that I met through my golf classes comes in and talks about the mental side of golf with my students. Mm-hmm. So I'm building a posse of women around me. And that is like that Get Vertical is not just about me. It's about helping others. My niece is employed through this. Other people are, you know, building their own businesses, which I love. So if I have a yoga teacher and she joins for a while, I'm like, okay, how's your social media going? I know what I'm doing with this. Let's blow you up as well as while you're working here for, if we agree that it's 3 months or 6 months, what you can get here is, because being, finding growth on Instagram isn't easy either. And over time, I've had, you know, 70,000 followers on Instagram, and now I use that to help other women catapult themselves in whatever avenue they want, which is a gift that was given to me, and that I don't I like to share it. Like, I'm like, I know how hard it was when I had two followers. Mm-hmm. I know, and I know how to give you some moves, and I want to help you. And so that's the greatest, giving back to the women that helped me when I was at my lowest is like, I'm obsessed.
And you know, you've talked a lot about, you just brought up kind of the mental side of the game, and you've worked with women for several years now. What difference are you seeing with clients? You know, how do you think the type of training and the workouts, what they do with you, what does that bring to, you know, their own self-confidence or just mental health in general? What kind of transformation are you seeing in general?
Just women that are walking in their own power through golf. They're not all golfers. Like, some of them are just, you know, in it for the fitness and the wellness group, I call it. And some of them are just in it for the golf part. But in the end, whether it's both or one or the other, I feel that they're finding something, support, a place to be open and themselves, and that, like, I'm there. Like, I'm not recorded. I am working out, grunting beside them
live
daily. I'm not going anywhere. I call myself the golf pro in your back pocket, because if you join my community of fabulous women just trying their best to look after number one, I'm going to give you all I've got to make sure that you get what you wanted when you join. To be seen, heard, and uplifted. Like, I love these ladies. I've met so many fabulous women in the last 2 years that I feel so fortunate to get to know them, really.
That's absolutely wonderful to hear. What would be your top advice for someone who is considering building a business, you know, in sports or wellness in general? What are things you'd like them to know?
So, action. You can get lost in the thinking about your logo. You can get lost in perfection. And I have been nothing close to perfection ever. I'm just out here trying my best, or trying some days, and just showing up and move through and beyond the fear if you can, and ask for help, and you can do it. And if the message keeps coming to you, whatever it might be, you should podcast, you should write a book, I really want to do this, then listen, because this intuition is bang on. Like, it knows. So those messages, the sooner you can follow them and listen to what you really want, you will find your way, whatever that is.
Well, this was great, because I think this advice applies to anyone, any woman in business. So thank you so much for sharing your insights. And thank you for sharing your journey. This is very inspiring. I love this work that you do that gives back to women at the same time. Carrie, it was great speaking with you today. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure to meet another fabulous woman on another part of the planet. It's a privilege. So thank you for taking the time to ask me the questions. Now I'm dying to ask you them all.
thank you so much for listening to the Brandis Female Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of The Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.